Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in. They score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he saves them to the conference finals.
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank, Martin, Plowsy, Brian, here till 12. Great program lined up for you. Aeneas Williams, 10:30, is going to join us, the Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame weekend in the NFL. And 11:15, J.C. Corcoran, one of the great radio talk show hosts St. Louis has ever known. He'll be in studio from 11:15 to 12.
I always joke with Frank that, you know, I grew up watching him on TV, which is, you know, slight exaggeration, but I did grow up listening to JC on the radio. When I was in high school is when he arrived at Casey. And you're carpooling with your buddies in the morning and flipping around, and he was it for sure. And nobody's more fascinated with JC's career than JC. So this will be fun. We're going to go through the vault here. He said he's bringing material, right?
Yes.
He always does.
No one has ever worked harder at a radio show in St. Louis. I mean, think about it, Martin. If he went on the air, I guess he went on the air at 6 to 10 for most of his career, how early he'd have to be up to pull, you know, like dozens of cuts. And he was doing it himself. He had this, I will ask him about it, but he had this system at home where he like recorded everything from Cardinal Baseball to David Letterman. And then that
every
next
local
morning,
newscast.
Yes. And he would have the best 7 seconds or 15 seconds from every broadcaster show.
Because if somebody happened to say Anthony Boner instead of Anthony Bonner, he had it. I mean, it was.
Is that a shot of Malcolm?
No. I think it was the great Jim Boland at Channel 4 who once said that while doing news, weather, and sports. Really, Channel 4 was ahead of the time, Frank. They had a guy on the weekend, as things have been pared down considerably in our business, who did all three, news, weather, and sports. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Weekends. Jim Boland, he would be on the air on a Saturday at 5, a Saturday at 10, and he'd have the news. Then he'd come back and he'd do the weather. Then he'd come back and he'd do the sports.
Bob Frischman is a former longtime producer of Channel 4 and a real good friend of mine. And he said, we were talking the other day. In fact, he went to Springfield with me for a game of Dom's. And he was talking about how Jim Boland, who was the nicest guy ever, and Ali Rahman, who was also the nicest guy ever, the famous meteorologist, they didn't get along.
Well,
that doesn't happen very often in newsrooms. It does a little bit.
Yeah, and maybe in New York and L.A. where there's just really inflated egos, there's probably a lot of battles. But I'm more intrigued at the fact Frank keeps finding somebody random to go on these roads. I feel like he's on Craigslist. Anybody want to go to Quincy tonight? We'll have food at midnight.
Monique's not going like twice a week. She'll go once a week, so I bring somebody around.
I tell you, Frank sent us a picture on Friday and said, dollar beers before first pitch. So I said, Chuck, what do you say, you and me tonight? And he's like, sure. And I was actually kidding. I think Charlie was up for the trip. And I kind of felt bad that I'd thrown that out there as if it was a legit offer. And I think Chuck was actually disappointed.
Yeah.
Which,
so
by the way,
you saw those women because they ring those cowbells and they're about 10 of them. They're all between like 60 and 80, and they all have white hair. And they just ring those cowbells and yell, go, Dominic. I said, it's Dominic.
By the way, I did send Charlie a text this morning. The president did address the mass shootings, and then he accidentally said the folks in Toledo. So I sent Charlie thoughts and prayers, but I think everybody's safe and sound in Toledo, God willing.
All right, our opening monologue brought to you by our good friends at Worldwide Technology Raceway, side of the Bomarito 500 later this month. Let's begin with lap one. So you get by the trade deadline day, and you win a series against the Cubs, and you come out of there in first place, and you think, well, maybe we can get by with this starting staff. Then you run into a good baseball team. Yes. And you realize you really can't. Dakota Hudson allowed four runs and could not get past the fourth inning on Saturday. And yesterday, Waino not effective in Oakland.
Far drives one to right field, and then at the wall. That baby's gone. 3-1-A.
Two times I had two strike counts where I'm thinking about punch outs and let them both get away. Gave up a double. That was obviously right after we scored two, just as a unforgivable mistake. But you know, the pitch to Profar, then other than those two runs that were both hit by pitches, the pitch to Profar is just a miss, you know, just didn't execute going to.
So you get nine innings from your starting staff. The Cardinals are like a okay college football team in a good conference. They pound the bad teams. Then when they get to the good teams, especially on the road, it's a different story. Against winning teams, Martin, 26-32.
And the stretch right now, it's the stretch, right? Houston, Chicago, Oakland. Oh, by the way, still to come the Dodgers for the next three. But they're 3-5. That's the math. 3-5 against Houston, Chicago, and Oakland. I apologize to Dakota Hudson for rolling out that stat over and over again that he had gone all but one start all year. It was three earned runs or less in every start but one. And I think since I brought that up the last two, he's done more damage than that. And also, Adam Wainwright, I'd like to know the sixth inning ERA, Hawk. You can get it later. But I feel like once he gives you five, just take him out. It happens every game. And that's on Shildt and Maddux. When he's giving you five, only two runs, perfect. I know you don't want to go to the bullpen, but with Adam Wainwright at his age, that's enough. That's perfect. Every time you get him out there into that sixth inning, it gets a little dicey. They always add a few runs off of him in the sixth.
Lap two. And now they're going to face another winning team tonight. In fact, over the next 3 days, they'll face the best team in all of baseball. They are fortunate on the pitchers they will face in L.A., but the Dodgers are a staggering 43-15 at home. Look at the lineup that Michael Wacha is going to face tonight. Bellinger, 36 homers, 85 RBIs. Turner, 17-48. Peterson, 23-50. Muncy, 27-74. Hernandez, 16-52, just to name a few. They've hit 190 homers, most in the league. This is a big start for Wacha. But you know, Martin, Cardinals really, really don't have other alternatives to Michael Wacha.
They have none. And that's sort of the story of the next 2 months. But what really scares me is not the Dodgers' record. It's not the Dodgers' lineup. What really scares me is Tony Gonsolin, the starter for the Dodgers tonight, I've never heard of. And the card, he's not left-handed, okay? So there is that.
Yeah, I checked that too. That's
but I was the first I saw this kid's
name. Is he a lefty?
And I'm like, oh boy. Is he soft tossing? Is he a lefty? But he's a virtual unknown. Excuse me if I don't know my Dodgers storyline, and maybe he has been an up-and-comer. But Tony Gonsolin, not Kershaw, not Ryu. Ryu's out, that helps. But the guy you'll be facing is Tony Gonsolin. Do you just have a feeling or a sense that maybe he'll stymie them a little bit? It just seems to always happen.
Lap three. The decisions for Mike Shildt will get real interesting. We've been talking about this for weeks. So Marcell Ozuna, regardless of what he does for a while, you just trot him out there every day. Why not? He still leads the team in RBIs despite missing all that time. Yadier Molina, I think we'll get time, but as we've mentioned before, you can't kick Matt Wieters to the curb. Yadier is 0-3 in Memphis, struck out twice, has not looked like a dynamic offensive player. A compromised Yadier Molina does not give you a better chance to win than Wieters and his nine home runs. He doesn't. So you're either going to have to platoon him. I don't think you can just make this guy a Thursday catcher or maybe a Sunday catcher. You got to play this guy more. Got to be objective here and not let resume get in the way of who gives you a better chance to win a game. And let's not forget this. The Cubs are at home right now where they are 39-18. The Cardinals and their shaky pitching staff, especially on the road or in L.A., the Cubs' lead is already a game and a half. Every game is so precious. So you just can't screw around with this lineup. And that leads us to Matt Carpenter, Martin. Does he get the Ozuna treatment? He plays every day, no questions asked. What do you think?
Well, in Oakland, you had the DH, so I guess it gave you an extra spot in the lineup. But it was funny that immediately he's your leadoff hitter. Not only is he back, baby, he's back in the lineup. He's leading off. Got to hit the first time up. But I think, and Tommy Edman, that has sort of passed. I think if you're being, although they play him a ton, and they found a way to put him in the outfield yesterday, he does feel a little bit, I like the kid, feels a little bit like teacher's pet. Like they just really like Tommy Edman. They really like him, but I think you could probably play him a little less. I think Carpenter, he's out there again tonight and tomorrow, but I don't think he needs to hit leadoff. I don't have a great option. I think we said Colton Wong middle last week. Why not? Why not give it a shot? And then just, I don't care if it makes Matt Carpenter uncomfortable. You just say, this is our plan. Now, Carpenter's a leadoff guy. I know he still walks, but I think I'd go with Wong for a while, and then I'd keep a real, it's a short leash on Matt Carpenter.
Here's Carpenter before his 1-for-4 performance yesterday.
Results were really the last thing on my mind going down there. I mean, I was working on things. I wanted to come back feeling strong and feeling like I had my swing where I wanted. So, you know, early on, you know, getting timing, getting at bats, and, you know, the numbers for me don't really matter, and they're not really indicative of what was happening. I was having good at bats and you know, putting together what I felt like is getting myself closer to the swing that I've had my whole career, and you know, looking to carry that over, you know, starting today.
What was it? Was it 2-for-30? What was not that bad, was it? His final rehab numbers were really bad.
Yeah.
And I know what he's saying, because it doesn't matter if he hits 400 down there. But next time I have a terrible sportscast, Frank, and my news starts, can be in my office. You know what I'm going to say? Well, I'm just working on some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm working.
Let's work on some things.
Spring training line.
Thought I'd try.
2-for-26 was two his for final 26. Line in the minors.
And I understand what he's saying. But you're still 2-for-26. You're probably trying to get a few hits in there. Working on some things.
All right, left four. So, in sports, there's supposed to be great debates on who is the GOAT, who's the greatest of all time in their respective sport. But is there really now in the major sports? Michael gets the title in basketball. And who could really argue that? Don't tell me about LeBron James. Anybody would, you know, any reasonable basketball observer would say it's Michael Jordan. Wayne Gretzky carries the title as the great one. And if you look at stats, titles, and longevity, pretty tough to argue. I mean, maybe Orr for a couple of, you know, a couple of seasons, but boy, greatest of all time.
St. Louis's own Wayne Gretzky.
That's
for
right.
Sure. Seen at the Cardinal Cup game the other night.
Plaza Frontenac. Starbucks there.
So, yeah, Gretzky, there's no argument. Jordan, there's no argument. I guess in golf, they still argue about it a little bit.
Yeah. Baseball, Babe Ruth has the pitching resume, along with the fact that he out-homered teams. And his, you know, his offensive stats, if you compare it to his era, pretty staggering. Now, in football, I bring this up because Tom Brady's in the news. And it's got to be Brady, doesn't it? Most titles right there in stats. And now longevity. Two-year contract. He just turned 42. It's an offer he couldn't refuse. 2 years, $70 million. So the contract will have him play until the 2021 season. He'll be 44. And he'll be at 80,000 yards, Martin, and 600 touchdown passes if he does this. And he's the only guy to have six Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, so if you factor in success and longevity and success later in your career, it's one thing if he was just kind of hanging on there and was still putting up numbers, but all the Super Bowls were behind him. Yeah, I think you can make the argument. To be effective, to win. I mean, he won last year. How old was he when he was?
41.
Yeah, I mean, how many Super Bowl champions are in their 40s at quarterback? You could be a punter and probably last. Who's our guy in Oakland that kicked forever? With George Blanda.
George Blanda, yeah.
And he,
so Janikowski did kick a long time,
yeah.
But Blanda kicked in his 40s and won an MVP late in his career.
Yeah, but I mean, a quarterback winning Super Bowls, and a great person to ask about this will be Aeneas Williams, because he's really close to the Patriots organization. He goes up there, I think like once a year, and likes Bill Belichick, has gotten to know that team a little, which sounds crazy, because I'm sure his most bitter defeat in his life was against Belichick,
yeah.
Brady, and the Patriots.
So, this morning, Bill Belichick was talking about Tom Brady. It doesn't seem like he's talking about the greatest player of all time signing a contract extension?
Yeah, Tom's been very consistent throughout the course of his career, and I feel like we're off to a good start in training camp. We all have a long way to go, but you know, Tom's worked hard. He's put in a lot of time, a lot of work, as he always does. He's very well prepared. So, you know, we're looking forward to just building this through the season and, you know, continue to get better on a daily basis.
I don't know if anybody ever described Michael Jordan as consistent, okay? I mean, he is.
20 years, 6 Super Bowls. Well, he's having a good camp.
He's consistent.
Yeah, he showed up in good shape and had some good throws in the morning workout yesterday. He just refuses to give you anything, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're reading into it and saying, well, he and Brady don't like each other. But he would say that about... Have you ever heard him gush about anyone? And if you work in Boston media, this is the guy. I mean, this is your Lombardi right down the street. But every time he talks, you're probably thinking, let's not use that soundbite. Let's get something from that Matt Slater kid. Let's find somebody else to talk.
Have you seen the football life of Belichick when he's on the boat with the really attractive girlfriend he's got?
I have not. Did he take part in it?
Yes.
He's interviewed?
Yeah.
Okay.
He allowed some pretty good access. And, he still doesn't say anything interesting at all, but it's kind of cool seeing him out on the boat with the really attractive girl.
I told this story. Maybe we didn't tell it on air. I don't remember. But taping a segment with La Russa in Boston, and it was in his office, and he pulls out this book that he was reading, and it's all about Belichick. And it's like the size of an encyclopedia. And Tony said to me, he points to me, and he said, you know why people don't like the media? Stuff like this. And he said, this book about Belichick, he said, Bill did not authorize it. He's not part of it. But Tony said, I wanted to read it to know more about it. He said, it's really fascinating. It's about his dad and growing up at the Naval Academy. And he said, but now let me flip to the back page. And they had just lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles. And he said, Belichick, having lost another Super Bowl, takes his sad, sorry ass and gets on the team bus. And Tony, like, holds it and goes, sad, sorry ass. Bill Belichick, he goes, that's why people hate the media. And I guess at least Bill didn't. And I said, I wonder if he had cooperated with that book, if the ending would have been a little bit different.
All right, left five. Saw the movie last night, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's like the greatest collection of talent in one place since they filmed We Are the World. We're talking Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, Al Pacino, Damian Lewis, Margot Robbie, Bruce Dern, Luke Perry, Kurt Russell, among others. It's really good, and it's really long. A tad slow at times, and every once in a while I say, okay, enough of that. But there are some incredible scenes, and Brad Pitt is in every one of them. If you see this movie, this Bruce Lee, where Bruce Lee is a young actor playing the part of Kato in The Green Hornet, and it's a fictitious scene with Brad Pitt, it is amazing, and it makes Bruce Lee really look like a nut and a jerk. And Bruce Lee, I've since read this, that Bruce Lee's daughter is just incensed because it is fictitious. It's not, this scene really didn't happen, and it makes Bruce Lee look terrible. But it's an unbelievable scene. And the Brad Pitt scene with the Manson family girls and the final scene, it's classic Quentin Tarantino. It's wild.
So is some of it based on reality, like fact, and then some of it's a little bit of fiction? So it's sort of his interpretation of that era?
And I think most of it is fiction. But the fact that they had, the Manson, the crazy women, and going up to kill, that part of it, there was some truth to that.
No, it's high on my list. I want to go see it. Tarantino can be a little weird, that's to be sure. What was the whole Kill Bill stuff? I kind of checked out at that point, but Inglourious Basterds brought me back in because that was so good. And just kind of almost twisted, like the way they thought of it, and just the whole theme of that movie was brilliant. And so I'm excited about seeing this. How many pizza pies does Frank give it?
Well, I go 1 to 10. I'd say
pies.
Maybe 8, 7.5, 8.
Okay. Probably. How many calzones? Is that better? Yeah. I was trying to think.
How many potatoes would you give it, Martin?
That's fair.
I bet if Kim sees this movie, she'll be a little bit like Monique and say,
Is it a little too violent?
It's a little violent. Yeah,
he's always
definitely
violent.
And then it is a little bit long. It's close. Seems like it was like 3 hours. I mean, it was supposed to start at 6 and end at 9, but of course, that doesn't factor in the previews, but it was long.
We almost went to see it Saturday night, and there was a showing, but it was at 9:45.
Oh, you could have never made it.
And I think Kim looked at me and thought, you're going to be passed out by 10:30, 11. There's no chance. So if we'd gone to the 9:45, you're talking about getting out of there at what, 12:30?
Yeah. So, speaking of movies, this one's not out for a while, but have you heard about this thing called The Irishman? And it's going to be Al Pacino as Jimmy Hoffa, and then Robert De Niro as the man who actually killed Jimmy Hoffa. And this guy admitted it later in life. The reason I bring this up is you can see the trailer out there, and they had this special camera, special effect, where you digitally de-age someone. And they make De Niro like 30 or 40 years younger. Instead of putting, I'm sure they use makeup, but this special effect makes him look 30 to 40 years younger.
Wow. And you said De Niro and Pacino?
Yep, and Joe Pesci.
Because for years, they'd never worked together, right? It was the movie
Heat. Yeah.
When they were in, they said it was the first time they'd ever been the same scene on the same set. I'd be interested in that. Also, yeah. The title alone, The Irishman, that's a must-see.
There you go.
But that's fascinating. I mean, some of the technology, when Ted Turner first started taking the old Westerns and taking the black and white and colorizing them, it just seemed kind of gimmicky. But this, I bet you wouldn't even really notice, unless you're just staring and saying, that's De Niro. How is Pacino in the Tarantino movie? Is he over the top? Is he kind of the classic Al Pacino outrage?
No, it's a little bit more of a smaller role where he plays a Hollywood talent agent. So, but he's perfect in it. So, all right, lap six. Stream of Con. Ezekiel Elliott has a chance to make $4 million this year. And I hope this is not a situation where in the 25th year of his life, he doesn't make any money. It's unfair that he's the 10th highest paid back. You can make a case he's the best back in the league. But Jerry Jones says you normally don't win championships with guys who win rushing titles. But I tell you what, though, Martin, I can't imagine the Dallas Cowboys being any good unless he's playing.
That puts a lot on Dak, and I'm not sure how great a quarterback Dak is. He's good, especially with a really good running back.
Yes.
It's sort of the two of them want new deals. Shouldn't they kind of get together and say, all right, I'm only really effective with you. You're only, or maybe Zeke would say, you need me more than I need you. But that is a tough way to look at it, too. $4 million. In a year where you're at your greatest health, you're 25.
Yeah, I just hate
pad your resume a little bit. I would think, is Rocky his agent?
Oh, he Rocky Arce? Yeah,
I think
you're
past,
right.
I
yeah.
think he was. Marshall's guy for many. He lives in St. Louis. Got to check on that.
Finally, you've heard that theory about less is more. And I'm wondering to all of our golf lovers out there, if you think this is accurate, the less you play, the better you get. So I have a goal. I want to beat Brooke in golf one day. She's not playing that much right now in D.C., and I haven't played a lot of rounds over the years because of the free time I do get. I've spent watching the three kids. So anyway, I've been practicing a lot, and she got home a few weeks ago, and she got me. And then, so I'm starting to, it just seems like the more I play, the worse I get. If I play a little less, I'm okay. So I'm wondering if that's a real theory out there. Less is more. Clousy? Thoughts?
It all depends on your skill level. Now, if you're trying to get better slowly and you're not, you've only been playing for a couple years, I think playing a lot, you kind of get your game kind of settled in. But once you have, you know, your distances down and kind of know the layout, I think playing less is certainly, you get it out of your mind, your body kind of feels a little bit better, you don't think about it as much. For me, though, like, it's
the more you
golf,
play, the better?
The more I play, the better I've gotten. But it's certainly, you hit that wall to where you're really not improving as much, and now you're just kind of down on yourself with shots that you would normally be happy that you took.
What do you,
you know,
think less
prior.
Applies, less is more applies for in life?
Like when you can
comedy?
Get better at it?
Yeah.
Yeah, less comedy, the better. Pick your spots. My dad told me that when I was a kid. Said, it's all about timing.
What a shock you heard that from your father.
He said, hey, because I made a wisecrack, and he said, timing? Everything in life is timing. Jokes are timing. I said, Dad, I'm 5. I was like, I would think at golf, the one thing you wouldn't want to have less of is probably putting practice. You probably should
or short
always,
game period.
Just always, you know,
chipping.
If you're
yeah.
not at the range, that's fine, but you should probably always be working on the short game. Isn't that where everybody loses their strokes?
That's right, yep. All right, let's take a short time out. Our opening monologue was brought to you by our great friends at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Hollywood Casino is our title sponsor. If looking for a place for the weekend, Hollywood Casino is the place to go. 99 Hops House, Final Cut Steakhouse, All You Can Eat Buffet, Charlie Gito's. Man, they have some great places to eat. You can check out that new rink. The Centene Family Golf Community, Family Ice Center is spectacular. Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. Aeneas Williams, 10:30. J.C. Corcoran, 11:15. We'll be right back.